The Business News Hour is supported by the certified public accountants at Shaw and Desmond, looking beyond the numbers for you and your business. ShawandDesmond.com and Insight Advertising, connecting businesses with consumers at InsightCubed.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you guys are hanging out with us and hanging out in our studio. Once again, is our friend from KXEL Radio, News Talk 1540 up there in Waterloo. And he is Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen, who is also with the Iowa Broadcast News Association. He's also with Iowa Watch. He's also... What else do you do,
Jeff? Well, I've got the Iowa Almanac at iowaalmanac.com. Entertain at private parties and street corners. I don't know.
Jeff, how long have you been in the broadcasting business?
I started when I was in high school, and that is 37 years ago.
Oh, good for you.
And it's one of these things where I have tried to get out of it and find honest work multiple times, and it keeps drawing me back in, and I think that's a story you're familiar with.
I'm very familiar with it. Yes, I am. You have just taken on – you're the program director back at KXEL in Waterloo.
Right.
Tell folks what that means, other than working all the time.
It means you are responsible for everything on the radio station. And what's unique about News Talk 1540 KXEL is it's a 50,000-watt clear-channel station. Right. Now, what that means is – that it covers virtually all of Iowa during the day. You can hear it in downtown Des Moines, clear as a bell. And then we reach half the country at night because no one else north of the Mason-Dixon line is at 1540.
Right.
And so I will hear from people in Des Moines. I'll hear from people in Montana and Wyoming and Michigan and Washington, D.C. one morning because of the way that the signal travels. And so you not only are programming a station for an Iowa-based audience, primarily Eastern Iowa, but you have to be cognizant of the fact that there are people in Des Moines who listen. There are people halfway across the country. And it is a different responsibility than we used to have. But now, with everything also streaming online,
right,
everybody is a global radio station. And so that's now a new component of things that we haven't dealt with. So you select the programming, you try to meet the needs of the audience, and when vacancies in programming come up, you wind up filling them yourselves.
Yes, isn't that the truth? And that's exactly what brought you to Des Moines today, wasn't it?
To a large degree. You mentioned Iowa Watch, and you had Lyle Muller on earlier from the Iowa Center for Public Affairs Journalism earlier in the week, and the annual banquet is tonight.
Correct.
So I knew I was coming to Des Moines for the banquet, but I now host an afternoon program from 2 until 4.
So wait, are you doing mornings too?
I am doing segments in the morning.
So you're doing morning news.
I get to the station. I sleep in now. I don't get to the station until 7:15.
Oh, wow.
So that
Slacker.
I can do my morning political commentary that airs at 7:45.
Got it.
With other segments that were recorded, interviews before then. And then there's, as you know, as the audience should expect, they used to say for every 1 hour that you do live on the air with a news talk format, and that includes this program, you spend 2 hours off air preparing for it, whether it is preparing for the interviews, doing the interviews that have to be done ahead of time, taping them, etc. And so literally from about 9:30 or so in the morning, I am working toward noon to get things ready for the afternoon to be live 2 until 4. And so sometimes the interviews are live, sometimes they were recorded a short time before. And you also have to be flexible. For example, yesterday I had the governor in the studio. That came up as a possibility literally the day before because she was able to find time in the travels between various stops to come in. We agreed upon a time and they said, well, maybe if it's running ahead, she can come in a little early. So literally, one segment ends, you look up, and there is the governor of the state of Iowa looking in the window of the door, and you then have a 20-minute conversation with the governor. The hour before, we had Senator Ernst on by phone, which makes this a tremendous job because you get to talk to so many great people. And so the idea of today was, if I'm doing a live show from 2 until 4, I can't get to Des Moines in time for a banquet in the evening.
Correct.
So let's do the show from Des Moines.
So you ended up coming down to the State House, is that correct?
Broadcast from Secretary of State Paul Pate's office.
Got it.
Because of the fact that one of the stories he likes to tell, and they tell it on the tour, you can tour his major ceremonial office, which is actually where he does work. They call it a ceremonial office, but it has a beautiful west-facing view of downtown Des Moines. There's also a north window. And the lore of it is that the original Secretary of State was friends with the architect of the Capitol, and so the best office went to the buddy of the architect.
Of course.
But it was a great location, and so Secretary Pate was on the program. State Treasurer Michael Fitzgerald was on the program. Terry Rich came over from the lottery. So my goal with the program is to do very much like what you do, which is let's bring some people to the table to talk about topics in a format that is not rushed, that is not subjected to 20-second sound bites. We took the program. This is only the, I think, sixth week we've done it.
Wow.
We took the program to Cedar Rapids last week and did everything from there. And so that led me to be in Des Moines. And if I'm already going to be in Des Moines for an afternoon radio program that I have to be here, I might as well come in to do the CW Iowa program live at 9 in the morning, because we do a television hit on that program from Waterloo every day to promote the radio show and also the Iowa Almanac. So, yes, I got up at 4:15, if you could tell.
And ladies and gentlemen, while you're sitting there on your in your drive home and you're going, you know, I'm kind of tired from the day, this crazy broadcast schedule, and it just kind of continues after
What they're really doing is saying,
he's out of his mind.
This guy is nuts. Yeah, that's really, and I cannot argue.
What is it? What is the allure? I share the passion, you know. What is the allure to broadcasting? What is the, especially radio, what is it that you think this still does and how it still resonates with so many people?
I think, Michael, it is a personal medium, and it allows you to be engaged in a way television isn't. We talk about people being couch potatoes and vegging out to the TV. It is a passive medium. You stare at a screen, and the flickering images lull you to sleep if the program is not terribly interesting. So you can be very passive about it. Radio requires you, whether it's a music format or a talk format, it requires you to listen and be engaged. And if you're in the car, as people are now driving along, if they sort of zone out for a moment, they're going to snap back to attention and not know what they missed, because you have to be physically and mentally engaged to the voice. And with television, it's just sort of there. And I've done television. I still do television. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's a different medium.
It
so to answer your question, it requires the audience to be engaged, and it's a very personal thing, because if you think about how you use television – now, it's a huge screen, and people are sitting around, and there are man caves and whatever else. With radio, it's at your most personal time. You're in your car alone. It might be the radio in the bathroom or the kitchen, and we go back, you know, 100 years almost now to the beginning of radio. In the rural areas, that was the only voice some people heard all day, was on that radio on the kitchen table, potentially. And so I think that's what the allure still is that it's much more like people having a conversation. And in other words, we're having a conversation. That's the format of this program. It's very much what I try to do on mine. And what I hope, and I know you share this, is that the people listening feel like they're sitting around the table
Correct.
With us and could jump in with a question at any time, which makes me as an interviewer, you as an interviewer, gives us the responsibility of trying to anticipate what that other guest at this conversation would want to ask, and then we have to ask it on their behalf.
And keep it going at the same time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, because this is a business show, and by the way, it's the only business show, broadcast and show in the Midwest. Isn't that the craziest story? We went looking around, and
right.
the closest thing we found was WBBM in Chicago. There's nothing in the Twin Cities. There's nothing in Kansas City or Omaha. Or, you know, it just stunned us. But because this is a business news broadcast, let's talk a little bit about the business of radio for just a moment. Because as a program director and as a longtime broadcaster, you're not only in the position of figuring out what goes over the airwaves. Sometimes you got to figure out ways to pay for this stuff.
Every day you have to figure out ways to pay for it. And what's one of the great things is that we have new opportunities for what we call NTR, non-traditional revenue. And it is incumbent on us to distribute our content on multiple platforms without sacrificing the original platform.
Right.
The way you make money in radio is you sell advertising. That it's a fundamental fact. It's been that way since Hoover was chair of the FCC and allowed advertising, because there was no other way to make money off of this thing. And now we have websites that cost a lot of money, The streaming costs a lot of money. People don't realize it, but the bandwidth it takes is pretty significant. So when a station streams, they've got to pay for it somehow. And it's either got to be on the ads on the radio, ads on the website, ads within the stream that are different from the ads on the radio. When we did the interview with the governor yesterday, and we did this on election night last fall, we did Facebook Live so that it was a simulcast on another platform. We wanted to do that yesterday because it was something different. But there are opportunities. You could sell. I could sell Insight on Business, the News Hour, an ad on the frame of my Facebook Live video.
That's right.
And I'm happy to do so if you'd like to talk afterwards. But what you have to think about what the audience will listen to. But you have to think about a way to pay for it. I've always measured success in radio with ratings, revenue, or content. Three of those. If you have good content, you should get ratings. If you have people listening, namely ratings, you should get revenue. If you don't have ratings and revenue, it better be a really good show that you're proud of doing.
Or that you really have deep pockets.
Also an issue.
Yeah.
Or that you're willing to subsidize this show because its content is good. Or this station, because that's why station groups work. You know, they can subsidize this because of the revenue of that. But my job is to think of programming that people will find receptive, or that they are receptive to, that they'll find interesting. But I also need to think about how it impacts for sales. So, quick example. We decided on Saturday nights, this has been about a year and a half now, we decided that we could just run reruns, best of, political talk shows. And in this day and age, they're dated the moment they hit the air.
Sure.
Or we could run classic radio programs.
Let me guess where you went with that.
We went with a classic radio program.
Of course you did.
And so for every Saturday night, other than football or right. You know, whatever, Saturday night, 6 to midnight, we do classic radio theater.
And what kinds of things? Is that Laurel and Hardy?
It's Jack Benny, and yeah. It's Dragnet, and it's The Lone Ranger, and Gunsmoke, and Orson Welles, and it's all of this great stuff.
What's really cool about that, Jeff, and it's mm-hmm. So, Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen, from KXC, all in Waterloo, also the Iowa Broadcast News Association. One of the cool things about that, Jeff, is that when we talk about radio being the theater of the mind, those programs you could see those actors, you could see those, it is fascinating to listen to.
I have great respect for television and in news in particular, but with radio, you have to give everything. Your writing has to be so crisp. And when you're talking about comedies and dramas, there are the sound effects. So we run that every Saturday, and we've had some great response. We added a Saturday noon matinee just simply because, again, it's something a little different. And what we decided then for holidays was to, whenever the holiday fell, Thanksgiving on a Thursday, Labor Day on a Monday, we would do that same stunt programming. Well, my idea in that is to say that's an interesting program for an audience that might be on the road, might be in different routine. But I can also go to you as a business owner and say, hey, on New Year's Eve, we're doing a special 6 hours of all comedies, and we're calling it KXEL's Last Laugh of 2016, as we did last year, mm-hmm. And say, would you like to be part of this New Year's Eve party? It's a matter of saying, how can I introduce my audience that I've cultivated through the year in this special event with your business? And if I can connect the two of you,
so much
the business and the audience, then that's really the goal of commercial broadcasting.
Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen, he is the news and program director for KXEL 1540 News Talk. I did all that backwards, you notice, in Waterloo. You are stepping down as the executive director of the Iowa Broadcast News Association.
Just what a slacker.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. The 70-hour work weeks? It just
was not happening for me. Well, at the time that I took this position at the radio station 2 years ago to rebuild a heritage 50,000-watt station, I said to my colleagues at the IBNA, we have got to work something out because this is just not feasible long term. And we tried a couple of different models. And then I also knew that we would be getting to the point where I would need to commit to this new program. And so I said, I really need to commit to this new program. And it's been 21 years,
wow.
21 great years, very fulfilling. But organizations need change. They need new ideas and new sparks. And I think we are going to be leaving it. I'm still doing it for now. But I think we're going to be leaving it in a better shape than when I got it, and that's really all you can ask for.
Sure, and as with any organization like this, it is run by volunteers for the most part, correct?
That's correct. I mean, broadcasters around the state serve on the board, and the small stipend, and I say that not in a being a critical manner, it's a nonprofit group. So there's a little stipend, which is very nice, but there's a paying job, and there's someone else out there who should really have the opportunity that I had. You know, the organization's been around since, I think, 1948. And we looked, and nobody has done this longer, which either means I really am crazy, as we established earlier, or that it really is time for the next generation to step in as I step back to the daily program.
His name is Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Jeff, for doing this. So you're off to the banquet for the Iowa Watch and the transparency in media and in government relations. Jennifer Jacobs is going to be the main speaker from Bloomberg Politics, as a matter of fact. Should be good stuff.
One of my former Iowa State students. Very proud.
There you go. All right. We've got to clear on out of here pretty soon because, well, it's 9 to 6 o'clock. We've got things to do. I'm going to go down and shake hands, kiss babies at the with the Iowa Watch, and then move over to a wonderful evening with our friends at the Iowa Restaurant Association. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, along with our guests, our producer is Tyler Hackenmiller, the voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is Jimmy Olson. The program director for the radio station is Patrick Wood. The liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayre. The music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our good friend James Goodlett, exclusively for the Business News Hour. And general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group is Jeff Delvaux. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening, would you please? Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night. The Business News. Thanks for listening.